Right. I'm going to try and project. How's that? All right, good. We'll do that. And we'll see what happens. Thank you, Jeff, if you didn't catch all that already. Thank you for ministry last week. He alluded to the fact that when I called in and told him Sunday morning I was not well, he was already due to speak anyway. And when I wasn't well, he said he heard something about four in the background, which is not true. Although I do need to let you know, Cindy and I did go to the Nationals game that afternoon. But let me explain why we did that. In the morning, I was sick. We knew we had these games. It was kind of a date. I wasn't sure what to do. Hadn't been here. Wasn't feeling 100%. But then I heard this. Jeff, go to the game. It was a deep voice. I wasn't sure exactly where it was from. But it was clear as a bell. Go to the game. So what would you do? I mean, it was pretty clear to me what I was to do. So we could be sick down there as easy as anything, and I wouldn't get anybody else sick. So got something now? I hear that. Yes. Thank you, Brian. Yes. Yes. Very, very grateful. Well, it was about in the 1940s. Up in a small southern Pennsylvania, little town in southern Pennsylvania, about the 1940s, when a man named Amo, they called him, first put a baseball glove on. And that game grew in my dad's heart, a love for the game of baseball. He played it in high school. Some folks with the Cardinals actually looked at him as a senior in high school and thought, hey, he might have some potential here for beyond high school. Unfortunately, baseball was played on Sundays, and his Mennonite mother and father were not too hot on the fact of him possibly playing baseball on Sunday. So dad had an amazing 10-0 senior year in high school. But one of the bigger things, though, was that he passed that on. He passed that love of baseball on to a little guy in Falls Church in Arlington. And I found this. This is my Little League glove. And I became a lover of the game of baseball and played through some of my college years. I even got one of these. Jeff, give me a... Here you go. Yeah. Now, did you hear that? One of the sweetest sounds in the whole world is the sound of a ball hitting a mitt. Love the game. Played... Well, the fun thing is when our daughter came along, she didn't pick up a mitt. She picked up soccer cleats, but she did pick up a love of the game. And it was just last summer, I think we got one shot of me and Karis. It was our date before she went back to her last year at senior year. We went down to a Nationals park. And so we just enjoyed the game, sat there, talked about the strategy, the players. So Dad won, thank you for passing on the game of baseball and the love of baseball, which I'm enjoying passing on to Karis and hopefully her kids. But that wasn't the only thing Dad passed on. Early on in our life together as a family, I realized that God also loved, Dad also loved the Word of God. He loved the Bible. And I remember him reading that and studying it. And I realized where he got it from. This Bible says Raymond S. Good on it. This was my grandfather's Bible. And I look at it, and I see these. He must have loved James. Because as I looked at this, James has a lot of writing in it. And so my grandfather evidently loved the Word of God. And it's poured over it. My dad loves the Word of God. I remember him seeing it, reading it, speaking to us about it, encouraging us to read it. And then one of my deepest joys is to look at our daughter Karis's Bible, especially the book of Psalms. And when she was dealing with some significant anxiety in her high school years, she began to go to the Psalms. And I love to look at her Bible and to see it completely marked up, especially in the book of the Psalms. And I love the fact that the love of God's Word was also passed down from my dad to me. And I'm loving seeing that love grow and develop in Karis's life. And that's what this series is all about. That's what we're talking about today. Because in 2 Timothy 2, there was a man named Paul, one of the apostles, one of the early leaders of the church. And he says to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be able to qualified to teach others also." Paul is saying, God has done some amazing, important things in my life, Timothy, and I want to be intentional about passing that on to you. I don't want it to be a maybe. Timothy, would you listen and watch what's done in me, and I've passed these on to you. The word entrust is significant. Timothy, I want to entrust these to you. These are precious to me. And I want to entrust them to you. But it can't stop with you, Timothy. It's got to go on to that next generation. And Paul doesn't even stop there. He says, Timothy, it's got to go on to that next generation, others also. There's like four generations in this short couple verses. Be intentional, Timothy, about passing it on. It's far too precious and it's far too important to stop with you. So be intentional about doing that. That's what this series is all about. I want to be intentional about entrusting to you some patterns and practices that have been precious to me over the better part of 20 years. And I want to pass those on to you in hopes that you will take that seriously too and say, well, it's not going to stop with me. There's aspects of this. I have particular patterns that I'm encouraging you to think about, but there's principles here that we're talking about that I'm encouraging you even now to think, no, I will commit. I'm in on intentionally passing this on to people in my sphere of influence that I love, I care about, and I want them to miss it, and I don't want them to miss it. I will be intentional about passing this on to my friends, my children, my spouse, so that they can teach others also. I've had fun thinking about not only your children. Those of you that I know have children here, I've had fun thinking about the intentionality as you take this seriously of you passing on this, some of these things to your children. But my fun hasn't stopped there. I've thought about your grandchildren. I've thought about the children that are going to come from your children. And I've thought about the connection here. That is, something happens in your heart and you intentionalize this and you pass this on. It's not going to only benefit your children. It's going to benefit children you don't even know about yet. Or if you're not married, you have friends. And you're going to intentionally pass that on into those friendships. And those friends are going to pass it on. And there's going to be a blessing in people's lives that you don't even know about because those friends are going to pass it on to somebody else. The first practice that we talked about 2 weeks ago was simply this. Early in the morning, at some point in the beginning of your day, intentionally turn your thought to a true characteristic of God. As we hurry about our days and our mornings, have it be a discipline, a practice, almost a default thought that I'm going to turn my thought to God before I start running into my day. That song's true. Be thou my vision, my best thought, by day or by night. That's God. We can't have a better thought to start our day than something true about God. And that's why we handed out 2 weeks ago that list of 31 characteristics of God. And that, so over these past 20 years, 31 kind of lines up. I was able to figure out, well, maybe this day it would be good to think about that. So today was, if anybody looked at it, today reminded us that God is our deliverer. He's our liberator. From Psalm 70, David writes, "I'm in trouble, God. If you don't come and help me and deliver me, I'm in trouble. You're my deliverer." how important is that to begin our days thinking about God being our deliverer, lifter of our head, powerful. So I just pray that you take it seriously. I'm going to ask you to actually express something of a commitment in an appropriate way toward the end, if you're in. So you're not just not passively sitting there, but you actually, in your heart and mind, say, no, I'm in. I'm going to do this. I'm going to intentionally do this. And I'm going to work at passing on a first thought about God. That, what we passed on to you, might be helpful to you. You might use a different form. You might use a different way. But I just encourage you in some way, early in the day, think about something true about the character of God. Last week, Jeff's message was, it's so good, I can say his 3 points and I wasn't even here. You got to show up. You got to be intentional in your relationships and then serve. And Jeff and Shelley have lived this in our midst for the better part of 20 years. They've shown up faithfully for the better part of 20 years. They have intentionally been involved in relationship, and they are serving. So they're modeling that. That's deep in Jeff's heart. I didn't tell him to speak on that. I told him things to the speaking team that I was going to be speaking on. He picked one. Perry's picking one in a few weeks. Perry's message is going to come from his heart. I'm not telling Perry what to speak on. He's picking one. Then later on, Micah's going to speak on one from his heart. But you're getting something from my heart to you these weeks. Today is simply this. I encourage you to think, for us to have this pattern in our lives, to see it developed in our children's lives, and maybe even in their children, that we would early in our days think about something true about the Spirit of God, about the Holy Spirit. I don't know your background. My background, the Holy Spirit was mentioned some, but there was something about he not super in my thinking. And God has done some significant things in my life. And so this is the journal. This is the page out of my journal that you have as a blue page. This is the page that I've looked at for the better part of 20 years. And I've just been reminded of something true about the Spirit of God. Who he is, what he does. And here's the reason that's fascinating. We have John chapter 16 up there. John chapter 16, verse 7. This is a passage where Jesus is speaking to his followers. It's some of the last encouragements that he has to his followers. And he's getting ready to go to the cross. So it's not long just before that. And he's speaking about this departure. He's going to go to the cross, and then he's not going to stick around for a lot longer after that. Listen to what he says about this transition time. He says, but friends, very truly I'm telling you, it is for your good that I go away. Because unless I go away, the Advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Amazing thought. Jesus said, it's actually to your advantage that I go. It's better that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Advocate, someone that's going to walk beside you, live inside you, the Holy Spirit. It's to your advantage that I go. Well, here's some of the advantages as we think about this. One of the advantages came to my mind. These are two words that I'd like you to think about as we think about a greater impact of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. And I was sitting in line. This is where the other image, Brian, could come. I'm sitting in line at my BB&T branch, and I'm waiting, and I see this sign, and this message comes to mind this past week. I mean, for today. And I thought, that's one of the impacts that the Spirit of God's ministry in our lives can have. The Spirit of God can help us just relax some. Take a breath. The Spirit of God helps us in our anxieties, in our fears. So he will say, relax and enjoy life to to a greater degree, with all the ups and downs, with all the challenges, the Spirit of God comes in our lives and He ministers in a deep way. And He goes, just relax and enjoy what I'm about to share with you, my life within you. So as you can see, there's a lot on this page. We're not going to read every single passage. I picked one out of these three, four groups that we have today. So just one in each one, that's all. The rest, I really encourage you to take some time and look over them, read them, figure out what the Spirit of God does from these particular verses. The first is start each day thinking about who this Spirit of God is. He is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. Psalm 139, where the reference there, David says, where can I go from your Spirit? What a wonderful thought for our children as they go, wherever they go in the world, for them to know, can I go anywhere that the Spirit of God is not there and with me? No. Can we go anywhere where the Spirit of God is not with us? No. It's a rhetorical question. Where can we go that your Spirit's not there? Nowhere. Spirit of God, He is God. He is omnipresent. He is a person. He's not just this emanation. He's not a ghost, even though that name's been used with Him. He's not a ghost. He's a person because in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. In your life, don't grieve Him. That's a statement of personhood, of emotion. The Spirit of God is a person. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. He's also a promise in 2 Corinthians 1. He's a guarantee. Translates into hope. But here's the one. Genesis chapter 1. This is the one that we're looking at in this passage. The Spirit of God is creator. In Genesis 1 and verse 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It's the Spirit of God hovering over the chaos. In the Hebrew poetry, this image of hovering is very important and very encouraging for you and me. It's the image of a bird hovering over its eggs. It's the image of life coming, order coming, hope coming out of this chaos, out of these eggs. The Spirit of God is hovering. Every now and then I'll take a hike. Karis and I have started taking some hikes, but before that I would take hikes on the Appalachian Trail, take Route 7 out to just into Clark County, where you hit the trail, it crosses Route 7 there, and I would hike about an hour north. And there's a great outcropping of rock, and I would take these soccer chairs. I'd haul that soccer chair up there, and I'd take my books and backpack and stuff, and my Bible and my journal and stuff, and I would sit there sometimes for a couple hours, thinking, meditating. And some of those times were prompted by very difficult times. Some of those times I needed to get away. I needed to hear the Spirit of God in a particular way. And one time in particular, I'm sitting there in this chair, beautiful view out over the looking west, over this outcropping of rock. And I look up and I just see a bird hovering. And I wasn't in Genesis 1, but this had been in my mind enough that when I saw that bird, God reminded me that just like that bird is hovering, the Spirit of God was hovering over me. He was hovering over that difficult circumstance that I was wrestling with. And I realized that because He was hovering, there was a sense of He's working. I don't see it, but life is going to come from that. And there's hope coming. When we see the Spirit of God hovering, and we know that He is, He's hovering over this church. He's hovering over even our time. And there's a sense of life coming from this because the Spirit of God is doing that. You name any circumstance in your life that you're walking through, He is hovering over that. Think about your children going through the rest of their days, having this knowledge that the Spirit of God is hovering over their lives, walking through their middle school years, their high school years, with this sense that God of all creation is hovering over my day. That's what we can pass on. That's who He is. But these are the consequences of what it means to know Him, to know the Spirit of God. So right away, when we begin relationship with Jesus, these are the things that takes place. First of all, He makes us brand new. We become brand new people. Titus, the passage in Titus, speaks about a washing and a rebirth by the Spirit of God. All that old crud is washed away. We become new creatures. And the Spirit of God does that. It's gone. He washes us with the rebirth. He indwells us. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul talks about our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually lives within us. He's not here. He is indwelling you and me. If you've said yes to Jesus in the most elementary way of understanding, you've established relationship. The Spirit of God at that moment indwells you. God lives within you. And it says, therefore, honor, glorify God with everything that you think and say and do. But the Spirit of God also places you in the body of Christ, places us in the body of Christ, uses the word baptism in that word, puts us in. We become a part of a family. We have brothers and sisters. But here's the one I want to focus out here. He seals us. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. That's how you got included in Christ. That's how we get included in Christ. When you hear the message and you say a simple yes, you believe, we get engaged. The gospel of your salvation, that's good news. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And he is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. When we have the Spirit of God in us, it's a guarantee. No question. It's not iffy. We can't lose that. There's not a non-guarantee. There's not a back door. When the Spirit of God comes into our life, he establishes that relationship with the seal. And there's no going back. And it's a guarantee of future hope. It's a guarantee that God's going to complete the work that he started. How important is that in our children? In our lives, to know that no matter what happens in their life, no matter what chaos comes in this life right now, God's going to complete and work good. And his Spirit in us is a guarantee of that. And then he anoints us in 1 John. He gives us a power and ability to keep going and to work. So that's at the very beginning. When we establish a relationship with Christ, that's what the Spirit of God does right away. Done. Forever. For good, right away. But every day now, you can expect him to do these things in our lives. And this is what's been so encouraging to me over these years. Every day, you can count on the Spirit of God to do this. And the first is, the only one we're going to look at in this passage is Ephesians chapter 5 in this section. This is what you can count on the Spirit of God doing. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Be wise, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. A direct correlation, a direct parallel. Don't let alcohol be the governing factor in what you say, in what you do, and how you walk. Don't let alcohol be the governing, overriding influence. Let the Spirit of God be that influence. You can tell if somebody's had too much alcohol by the way they walk, by the way they talk. You can tell that. It's the same thing with the Spirit of God. You can tell if somebody is overly influenced by the Spirit of God by how they walk, their life, and by how they talk. If the Spirit of God is filling us and the overpowering influence in our lives, it'll show up in what we say, and this is what will come out. We'll speak to each other with psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit. We'll sing like this, and there'll be elements of these songs that will be true through our day. Maybe not in these words and these same harmonies, but in a similar sort of way. But here's one marker of being filled with the Spirit of God in verse 20, always giving thanks to God for everything. In the name of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one marker that we are being influenced by the Spirit of God, is we're thankful. And we express that thankfulness to God for who he is. This is not a personality trait. This is not just for the bubbly people who look at life in a particular perspective. And if you're not particularly bubbly and you're kind of a different perspective, we're not off the hook. This is not a personality trait. This is a trait of the Spirit of God in our lives, that when we're filled with the Spirit, we're thankful. And we express that. Would you like that to be said about your kids, your grandkids, your life, your friends? That you're thankful. You're grateful. And that comes through. That's a result of the filling of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God will also use us. He has gifts. He will lead us. The Spirit of God leads us. He will make God's truth clearer. The Spirit of God comes in us when we read the Word. He helps us understand it. He helps us understand the Word of God. He assures us that we are His. This was very significant to me, even in my early years of knowing who Jesus was, wondering about what was going on. And there was just this testimony, this sense that His Spirit was bearing witness with my spirit. You're mine. You're mine. Yeah, you've screwed up. You've made a lot of mistakes, but you're still mine. And nothing is going to change that. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His. He prays for us. The Spirit of God intercedes for us according to the will of God. How great is that? To know that as we walk through our days, the Spirit of God is interceding for us. I can't tell you how many times, again, I've come to a particular day, been challenging, and I look at this and I start my day remembering God is praying for me. He's interceding for me. As I walk through my day, I long for you to walk through your days with this kind of regular sense that you're being prayed for. The Spirit of God is interceding for you. And He's praying for your children and your grandchildren and your friends that you care so deeply about. For that to be a regular thought, a regular knowledge in you. He's praying for you. He's producing fruit. We're going to focus on this in 2 weeks, so we'll kind of go by the Galatians 5 passage. He will give you power to be a witness. He will comfort, counsel. He will remind you. He will keep you in process. Spirit of God is the evident work of God. He keeps us in process. He doesn't give up. When we get discouraged, when we blow it, when we go, well, I'm done, I'm disqualified, it's the Spirit of God that comes into our awareness and goes, no, you're not done. I'm not done with you. Let's keep going. Do not get so discouraged that you give up and you lose heart. The Spirit of God is that voice that says, no, let's go. Let's take that next step. He keeps us in process. And He also blows the whistle. I like that phrase because it means in the John passage, He convicts us. He blows the whistle on sin, on error, in our lives. It's like a basketball official. Blows the whistle. Hand goes up, points at you. That's a foul right there. That's important because some people, when you're running up and down in a game of life, sometimes people have too sensitive of a conscience, and you're always wondering, is God happy? Did I just blow it? And we live with an uncertainty. We just don't know. But when you think about players on a basketball court, they're not running up and down, always looking at the official, wondering, was that a foul? A lot of contact on a basketball court, a lot of contact. But they don't keep looking at the official. They just wait for the whistle. And so if you have too sensitive of a conscience, I encourage you just live your life with the sense of the Spirit of God, and you'll hear the whistle. When He needs to get your attention, He will blow the whistle loud enough and say, no, that wasn't right. That was a foul. That broke my patterns in your life. And sometimes the whistle's got to be pretty loud. If you've seen some of these games, they're going at it, and sometimes the official has to blow it 2 or 3 times. Pretty loud. And He'll do that. The Spirit of God will do that till He gets our attention, and He says, no, it's not right. So He blows the whistle. He keeps us in process, and He blows the whistle. But one day, those are the ones that you can expect the Spirit of God to be involved with every day. But one day in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, this is what you can expect. I'm going to go back to verse 10 real quick and then just read 11. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body, your physical body, is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. There's hope. If you're here today hurting physically, you wake up and it's painful, or you're dealing with some physical pain, you deal with some physical, regular emotional pain. If this earth suit, this tent, this physical body is really weighing you down and it's really discouraging you, both on the emotional front and on the physical front, and you're pretty discouraged, this verse gives you hope that one day the Spirit of God will transform this earth suit. It is coming. You will not always be in pain, emotionally or physically. One day, that day is coming. Same thing for your children. Same thing for their grandchildren. One day, if their Spirit of God is in them, their bodies will be, physical bodies will be transformed. No more pain. So here's the commitment. I encourage you to think, I'm in. I don't have all the answers. I don't know exactly what this looks like, but I'm going to try to have intentional conversations this week with somebody in my sphere of influence about God. We just won't live our whole week without some intentional conversation about a character of God. I'm not perfect at this. I tried the other night before I tucked Anna into bed, I realized I don't do this a lot with her. So I said, Anna, do you realize that God is personal to you? He loves you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And then she says, but I know some people that are bald. I didn't expect that. But she was tracking. She was thinking. I told Michael Bravatz in our home group, and she's in our home group on a regular basis with Michael, and I'm thinking, Michael, I think maybe you came to mind. I told Michael this Thursday night, so it's not news to him. No. But I'm not perfect at this. But I do want to be intentional about speaking to Cindy. Cindy and I have tried to be a little bit more intentional in our mornings about the character of God that we're thinking about for that day. And just talk about that. You're going to stumble. It's going to be weird at first. Like anything, you're trying new, if this is new, and it's going to take practice before it kind of becomes normal. But I encourage you to talk about this. Intentionalize conversations with your spouse, with your friends, with your children. Figure out a way to do this. And for this week in particular, figure out a way how to talk about the Spirit of God in your relationship and what it means, what He means. Think about one of these things and talk about during this week when that meant something to you or when it made a difference. So are you in? Are you willing to say, yes, I will commit to this by God's power and by God's grace? Some of you, it's just going to be, I'm already doing this and you're doing it well and it's just an affirmation, a continuation. Others, you're kind of convicted. You're thinking, no, we're way too busy. We're not doing this at all. It's not happening. But this is something I want to be intentional about for my children's sake, for my grandchildren's sake, for my friend's sake, what that is. So, and then I encourage you to pick a favorite verse. Memorize it. We're still doing that. I had a better habit of memory at some point, and it's kind of lost. So I'm going back and getting some old memory cards, and I'm putting them back in my pocket, and I'm starting to review verses more intentionally through the week so these things come to my mind on a more regular basis. Doesn't have to be a whole verse. If you want to start with just a phrase, pick a phrase and just commit that to memory of one of these verses. And when you're going through your week, you'll realize the Spirit of God's bringing that back to your attention. Right when you need it, you'll be thinking about this phrase because you committed it to memory. So I encourage you to think about maybe that being a new pattern being intentional about committing something to memory. Becky is here, as Liz said earlier, and we're still gonna do this. We don't get to see her often. Becky is a friend. She's a missionary with Operation Mobilization. She's been with us from the beginning, almost 20 years of this church. She was not feeling well yesterday at all. And so God has done amazing work. Is this a good one, Kevin? All right, good. But there's some transitions going on in Becky's life, and we thought this would be a pretty significant time. This is one Sunday that she can be here. So,
thanks. Please, yeah. I mean, for as many years as I've known Jeff, I've always said to him, don't give up your day job when he tried to be a comedian. But earlier he dropped a one line to sing, and nobody wanted me to do that. I thought that was really funny. So, Jeff, good on you. yeah, as Jeff said, I've been working with OM for about 14 years. It was actually about 15 years ago that we started this journey. And so it's quite fitting that after 15 years, a good even number, I'm going to bring it to an end. And it was a bit, I just thought as I was sitting there, Jeff, this might be the last time I speak as the missionary here, which is a bit emotional for me. But over the last year, I shared in November, I moved back to the States and have started this really big transition of just returning to the States and readjusting to life here and working, continuing to work with OM. But as the Lord has just made it clear that this season is coming to an end, I've been serving as OM's International Communications Director, and my four-year assignment term comes up in June, and I had decided before in January that I wouldn't sign up for another four-year term and just see where the Lord was leading. And as it turns out, really feel sense the Lord is leading me to finish with OM, which I'll do at the end of August or September. We're still negotiating that, and then OM provides a very gracious three-month transition period for me to keep receiving support, so please still send it, and to keep my email and et cetera. And then what's next is a bit unknown, but the Lord has always shown me that he's in control. I remember when I left a few years ago in 2001, I remember thinking, I'm ready to go, but I don't want to leave. I was ready to get going, but I hated the thought of leaving here. And now I'm ready to leave OM, but I don't want to go from what I have enjoyed and experienced and engaged in. And it's a bit, Liz prayed for Nepal. And 2 years ago, I was in Nepal on this freedom climb. It was actually 2 years ago right now. And we have a team in Nepal. Praise the Lord, everyone is safe. Even yesterday, we didn't know about some of our Nepali staff, but they've all been accounted for. And now we'll start a relief program for Nepal, which I'll be involved with from a communications perspective. So it's all a bit how the Lord times things. So next time I'm here, I don't know what the future holds. What I'm planning to do, and since the Lord is going to allow me to do, is just to spend some time writing after, just to write about my experiences and see if there's a book or anything there, and then a couple other writing projects, and just probably go back to Kentucky for a while and spend some time with my family and just a sense of reconnecting with those that I've been away from for a long time. And I'm hoping after this visit that the Lord actually will lead me back to Virginia, but we'll see how that works. And I don't know what I'll do when I become an adult, but that's the next thing. So I'm very much in favor of it, but we'll see how the Lord would lead for that. So, okay. Yeah. I did want to mention, I mean, Perry, Kirk, and Amos have all been mission chairmen while I've been a part of Dad, this, and it's just significant that you would be here.
And Dad, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I said Perry, didn't I? Did
no,
I say
no,
Perry?
No, 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 no.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. It has been it's been fun to watch the whole 15 years, I'll say that. And Father, we thank you for these 15 years. Thank you for that trip to Albania, the trip to Albania in 2000, and how you prompted Becky to go speak to the OM representative there, and how she so begrudgingly said okay. And now is kind of begrudgingly ending that season. And Lord, it's just neat to see how you do work in our hearts and through us and just do these things. Thank you that we as a community have been able to be a part of that. I do thank you for Amos, who set the bar high for missions in this church so many years ago, and for how he shaped us in those early days. I thank you for Kirk and his involvement and his current outreaches into France and the things he's doing, and Lord, just for the opportunity to have us here together around Becky. Lord, we bless her. Lord, we commit her to you. We do pray that you would guide her steps, that you would write through her and shape many minds and hearts through the words that she is going to write. I pray that your anointing hand on that work. I pray for her as she reconnects with family and continues to grieve the loss of her mom together with her family. Lord, bless those days. Make them sweet. Thanks. And we do ask that you would lead her back here, but we do submit to your will. And just thank you so much for her and just for this community that we've been able to be a part of together.
All right. Please stand as we just conclude our time together this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you can overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in that hope.